Zeus Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Daniel Jones here, Cameron Teague Robinson. Last time we were here, there were hot wings. There are not hot wings today.
I have survived.
You did survive. That is an accomplishment in and of itself. I had a lot of people come up and talk to me about it. I don't know if you've had a lot of people come and talk to you about it.
No one's talked to me about it.
Nobody's talked to you about it?
Not like come up to me. I've had people text me or stuff like that, but...
I've had a lot of people tell me that they really enjoyed it and want to see you do it again.
I'm sure they would tell you that.
They haven't told you
no,
that?
No, they have not. Because wow. I would probably look them in the face and be like, I don't think we're going to do that again.
Wow. That shocks me. That was one of our most listened to podcasts ever.
Yeah. So props.
I think definitely one of our most watched
on Facebook
lives ever.
We appreciate you guys all coming.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, it was cool. I mean, not cool, but like, thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
That's how we roll here. Yeah. But since then, we've had quite a bit of time off.
Yeah. I feel like it's nice to be back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You broke your wrist?
Yeah. I fractured my wrist playing basketball like a few days after that. It's been a tough few weeks, man.
First wings, then wrist.
Yeah. I took about a week off because I couldn't really do much. Still really struggled to write with this humongous brace on my wrist. But, you know. It's just boring sitting. I've been literally sitting in my apartment watching Netflix and playing solitaire on my phone for a week and a half. It's the most boring thing in the world. I can't even play video games because the brace is covered up my thumb. And for some of you who don't know me, I'm a huge video game buff. So me not playing video games is like the end of the world. If I'm not working, I have to be playing video games. And I've been dying.
You said you've been watching a lot of people play Fortnite.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of that.
On Twitch?
Yeah, Twitch, a lot of YouTube. My two big games are Fortnite and Madden, so I've been watching a lot of Fortnite and Madden videos.
What is it like for you, somebody who's really good at Fortnite and other video games? I have played Fortnite in front of you, to watch somebody like me, who sucks at it, struggle and get eliminated immediately.
It hurts. Like, to see you guys, like, I try to tell you to do something, and you're just like, what? What do I have to do? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And in my head, I'm like, just press this button, this button, this one, this one. It's not that hard. Just press this button. And it hurts so much. It does. But at the same time, it's also pretty funny when you guys die, because you're just like, oh, where'd they come from? And I'm like, well... So it's pretty, like, I had a friend over the other day, or our photographer, Hunter Dyke, was over, and he was getting shot. And when you get shot in Fortnite, the light comes up like right over your cursor and it tells you what direction you're getting shot from. And in my mind, I'm like, Hunter knows this guy's behind him. He obviously just shot him. And Hunter's just like spinning around in circles trying to find him. And in my head, I'm just like, Hunter, build a wall. And he's just not doing it. And I'm like trying to tell him all these buttons and it's just not working, because I can understand why it could be tough if I'm just yelling at him button suppress, but it's tough, man. It hurts me so much sometimes.
I don't know how the game comes so easy for you. And what really the struggle for me is seeing all the things that you see and then reacting.
Well, I've been playing
crisis situation
first person shooters since I was 12, 13. I've been playing first person shooters legitimately most of my life since Call of Duty 4 came out. So I'm kind of used to seeing small things, and like when a leaf goes across the screen, I jump and like it automatically takes my attention because I think that's something going on. So like
I don't have that problem.
Yeah. See, I've been really attached to those games for so long that like I see everything, and I sit really close to my TV too. So
bad for your eyes.
Yeah. That's probably why I wear glasses.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
But
you said you've also been watching a lot of Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, I binge watched probably three shows.
Yeah.
Two of them are pretty good. One was four shows. One I won't mention because it's so bad. I actually feel embarrassed to mention it. There's three others that weren't bad, but like two of them are like top-notch shows I watched.
Come on, what was a bad one? What was the one that really sucked?
I feel a bit like it was called Greenhouse Academy on Netflix. It's like one of the shows I watched and I go, why did I watch this? It's like about like these high school kids and like it's about all the drama that goes into high school. So I was like, this is stupid. But it was like, the mystery of it got me because it's like about these like siblings who go to this high school and like their mom died at that school, or like there's some kind of conspiracy. I didn't get through the second season because I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
You just stopped.
Yeah, I aborted. It was just so much like cringy high school. I like you. Do you like me? Why don't you like me? Why are you kissing this person? Mm-hmm. Why'd you hug him? I couldn't do it. I stopped it.
Not really the target audience for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Anyway.
I'm way past that.
Yeah, I watched a lot of superhero movies this weekend.
Yeah. So you were in Arkansas.
I was in Arkansas and Fayetteville. And so watched a lot of Marvel movies. Watched Ant-Man for the first time.
Yeah.
New Avengers is coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Next weekend.
Yeah, that should be a fun one.
Felt like I had some obligatory movie watching to do.
You had some catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Also saw a lot of golf this weekend.
I did not watch any golf this weekend.
Well, there was Masters going on.
I do know that.
So watched that. And then the last 2 days was at Old Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And watched the Mizzou men's team win the Missouri Tiger Invitational. Second straight year they've done that.
Yep.
Hayden Buckley won the championship and was featured on the top 10.
Right.
On ESPN.
Who took the video that got on top 10?
I do not know. It wasn't a great day for golf videos because the sky was really gray, so it was kind of hard to see the ball. But heck of a shot. So you can catch that on Twitter. He hit it was about a 140-yard approach shot out of the rough and straight in the cup.
It's nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah. We were talking about this really briefly before we got on the podcast. It's just golf's one of those sports where, like, if you're good at golf, you make golf look really easy. And you make it think, like, I can go do that. But you can't.
That always happens. It always happens at the Masters, which is, like, the first golf tournament of the year.
Yeah.
You spent all winter. And, like, when it's cold outside, I like to imagine what I would be doing on warm, sunny days.
Right, right.
A lot of times I feel like if it was warm today, I would be golfing. Okay. I like to play golf.
Right, right.
So then when the Masters comes, it's like this weather's starting to turn.
Yeah.
It's the first golf tournament of the year.
I should go play golf.
And I'm like, all right, I want to go do that.
Yeah.
But I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so then I get really frustrated. And I'm sure that my struggle is not unique, but it, you know, like you watch Jordan Spieth play and Patrick Reed play, and then you try to emulate it, and it doesn't ever work out.
Yeah. It's one of those sports where you're like, if you watch Drew Lock throw a 20-yard pass, you're like, I can do that. And honestly, most people can go out and throw a 20-yard pass. You won't throw it as well and as hard and as like on the money as Drew Lock does, but you can do that. Or if you watch Cassius Robertson shoot a three, you can probably do that. You won't make 43% of them, but you can make a three-pointer. You go out there trying to do what some of these guys who have been golfing all their life do. I feel like I just want to break a golf club if I went out there. That's probably why I don't golf.
It's also why some of your Xbox controllers have had short lifespans.
We don't need to talk about that.
Okay. All right. So there has been Mizzou stuff going on.
Yep.
There's spring football is about to wrap up with the spring game on Saturday. There's practice Tuesday. So practice again tomorrow on Thursday. It's kind of getting to the point at spring practice where you're talking about a lot of the same things that you've been talking about for probably 3 weeks, asking a lot of the same questions. You don't get a lot out of spring practice. Probably some people do, you know, watching spring practice, get a lot out of it. You can kind of see how some of the younger guys are fitting in and guys playing different positions. They've tried Joshua Bledsoe out some at safety. They've tried Michael Wilson, backup quarterback, out a little bit at receiver. I don't think Michael Wilson's going to be playing receiver, but it was kind of interesting to see him take some reps there.
He's not your lead receiver next year?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Maybe Dominic Jacinto.
Maybe.
No, probably not Dominic Jacinto. Guy from Raytown.
Yeah.
No, I don't see Michael Wilson being much of a pass catcher next year. But Derek Dooley did say Tuesday that the offense that they are going to use in the fall has pretty much been, they pretty much figured out what they're going to do.
Okay, that's good.
Didn't really give us a lot of details on what that would be. I would imagine there's going to be a heavy emphasis on the run game. They were pretty balanced last year. As much attention as their pass game got, they pretty much were 52% pass. Actually, it was right at about 50-50 with their run and pass.
Right.
So maybe what you see more of is kind of heavier sets where you have two and three tight ends out there. They don't have a fullback, so you can't run like the I formation,
right.
But you can have fullbacks as you know, be tight ends. Right. So you have Alberto maybe split out, and then Logan Christofferson or Brendan Scales play as a fullback.
Well, and they have enough tight ends and versatile tight ends where they can do that. They can go
to they're good athletes.
Tight end set and start a guy at fullback and then motion him out if they want to throw it or something like that. So I think they have the tight ends to do that, which I imagine, which I also, I think you'll see a lot of work within those tight ends as well.
Yeah, they've run some plays this fall or this spring with a bunch of tight ends out there on the field. Right. So I see that being something that they do. And of course, that's been a topic of conversation in the spring for like 3 years, 4 years, going back a long time.
Right.
How are you going to use the tight ends? Missouri's had a lot of really talented tight ends. Last few years, last year was an exception with how Alberto was used. Alberto Cuebunam. In case you didn't think I could pronounce it, but
he gave me that look. I was like, oh, did he even do it?
It had been a while since I'd said it out loud. So, but his emergence changed the game a little bit.
Yeah.
It was easy to go there, and he was really the second best option on the team. So this year, I think that they have the ability to be a little bit more versatile with their tight ends, how they use them. And I think you'll see, I think it'll be pretty similar to what it was last year in a lot of regards. You're still going to run up tempo. Drew is still going to throw the ball deep, but I think you might see a little bit more of an emphasis in heavy sets, you know, like running a little bit more power. And I think that's going to be the plan.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot more tweaking in the fall when they get into camp, but that's kind of what it's starting to look like right now.
Yeah.
I will say in the practices, and it's hard to tell just because you got the same guys playing against the same guys for weeks on end, it has looked to me like the defense has been a little bit, it's just been better than the offense has. That they've looked a little bit more polished. It looks like the offense is still kind of going through some kinks. Maybe it's just spring. Maybe it's just because it's been cold.
Right. There have been a few times where the defensive line was just mauling the offensive line.
It really looks
and
to me
just consistent.
Like the defense is in a good place right now.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that translates. I don't know. Maybe they just...
And they could give up how many pass yards they gave to Missouri State last year. They could duplicate the Missouri State game if... We can say that now, and it could totally change. So
a lot can happen, and a lot will change between now and then. But early impressions,
right? Yeah, no, they looked really good. I remember us watching the defensive line just destroy the offense, and it wasn't even just like a few plays. It was just play after play after play. And I think some of that is just like you said, the offense getting used to what they're doing, and the offensive line getting used to different things. I think they'll be okay come the fall. But like you said, they looked really, really good in the few practices that I've been out there with you.
And last week, Terry Beckner wasn't even practicing.
Right.
He did practice on Tuesday, so it's no long-term injury. There have been a couple this spring. Isaiah Miller, backup running back, recently has surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the spring. Trey Williams had surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the spring. But those, I don't believe, are injuries that will have an impact in the fall.
Right.
Terry Petrie, it looked like he got a knock last week. I don't know the severity of that. Something to keep an eye on, and we'll get clarification on that tomorrow. So there have been some injuries, but none real serious that I think would shake up what the team's going to look like in the fall.
It's good.
Now, the other thing going on is basketball recruiting season.
Yeah, just started today. Well, didn't just start today. It was signing day started today.
Today was Wednesday. The first day of signing day, and Mizzou did get a signature from
Xavier Pinson.
Xavier Pinson.
Chicago. Chicago powerhouse, Simeon Career Academy. Probably one of the most notable schools in the country in terms of just pushing out basketball talent. He's not to the same level as, like, say, I think Jabari Parker went to Simeon or something like that, but it's a position at point guard Missouri desperately needed filled. Pinson can definitely come in and fill that. A very pass-first kid, very athletic. I don't know if you've seen some of this kid's videos. He is he jumps out of the gym at 6'2". Very athletic, very kind of lengthy, skinny. He probably needs to put on some weight, but it's a position Missouri desperately needed somebody at in this recruiting class, and they got a guy on the first day, which you can never be too upset about. And it's not like they're going to stop recruiting point guards. They have a few guys, very high profile guys, who I'm sure we'll talk about that they're still looking at for sure.
I feel like if you're putting it together a basketball team, it's kind of how executives put together a baseball team and they say you can never have enough pitching prospects.
Right, yeah.
And you just stockpile pitchers. Right. As many pitchers as you can get. Hope some of them work out. It's kind of what you do with point guards.
Right.
Just get as many ball handlers and point guards into your system as you can.
Right.
Figure out which ones work and don't work, and then go from there.
And I'm not sure Missouri would have necessarily went after Pinson had C.J. Roberts not transferred, Blake Harris transferred, and then the Terrence Phillips stuff happened because they don't have a point guard now other than Jordan Geist. Pinson got his offer from Mizzou on the 18th of January, which I believe was after Blake. I think that was after Blake Harris transferred. So then you're without your two future point guards in Blake Harris and C.J. Roberts. So it was important for Mizzou to be able to just say, hey, we need you. And he jumped on board. Seems to be very excited to get here right away.
So you also have, you're kind of waiting on KJ Santos.
He's signed.
He has signed.
Yeah, so the four signees now are three stars, KJ Santos, Javon Pickett, and Xavier Pinson. And then four-star Missouri Gatorade Player of the Year, Torrance Watson from Woodfield. So not a bad class so far. Torrance Watson is top 100, top 120, depending on what sites you go on. Very good score. Probably a guy who's going to come in and start next year and could just put the ball in the basket. But still a lot of time, a lot of things to be worked out for Missouri. Like, they have a lot of things that need to be ironed out.
Since our last podcast, Jontay Porter has declared.
Yes.
So has Mike,
yes.
For that matter.
Yeah.
Mike signed an agent. I don't think that was really all that surprising,
no.
Regardless of what the storyline was all season, that it wasn't a foregone conclusion.
Right.
I think most people around the program operated under the assumption that it was.
Yeah.
I know you probably felt this way too. I just believed that he was going to go to the draft until I was proven otherwise.
Exactly. Same.
And I would have definitely copped to that if he would have changed his mind. I would have, copped to it. But it just, when you have a kid with that level of talent that has that opportunity.
Yeah, you got to go.
Exactly.
And I think Konzo, if I don't know if they sat down and talked, but I imagine they sat down and talked. And in that conversation, if you're Konzo, you got to tell him, dude, you got to go. Not that you're saying you're pushing him out the door, but like, you got to do what's best for the player and the kid. And the best option for Michael is to go to the NBA, start making money, and be a contributor somewhere.
Now, Jontay is a little bit of a different situation.
Yes.
Hasn't signed with an agent yet, which basically, if you're a basketball player, you can declare, declare for the draft, which is really just
like testing the waters.
You're getting evaluated.
Right.
That's, you're going to the combine, you're getting looked at by NBA teams,
right,
and kind of figuring out.
There's like a certain amount of hours you can do workouts with NBA teams for, different things like that. So it's good for athletes. I think anybody who ever wants to do it should go do it. It's because it just doesn't matter. Like, you want to be in front of as many NBA scouts as possible. If the NBA is your dream, you should go do it. But it doesn't mean you necessarily have to sign an agent and go pro. I love the rule. I think it's a good rule.
I do too, and I don't see any reason why every sport can't do that.
Exactly, yeah.
Why you can't get evaluated at a professional level and still come back if you don't like what you hear.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me why no other sport has that option.
Now, where it hurts is like Missouri's now, you recruit under the cloud of, is Jontay coming back? Because if Jontay leaves, you have three open scholarships. If he stays, you only have two. So it just kind of changes things.
I'm sure you get asked this question a lot. People are just curious about Jontay. You know, they'll just ask, what do you think is going to happen with Jontay? And there's a lot of people that say he should come back. He needs another year.
Right.
I don't know what your opinion about this is. My thoughts are actually before my thoughts. What is your thought on that, on the thought that Jontay needs another year in school?
Well, I should probably preface this by saying I have no clue. Like, I have not talked to anybody about it. Like, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I think he should come back. I mean, I think he's probably a borderline first round pick. You're looking at probably 22 and down, maybe 20 and down, or I should say 20 and up. But I think if he came back and helped lead Missouri back to the NCAA tournament next year, he's a lottery pick. I think he's a top 10 pick next year if he came back. If he came back and showed that he can play inside and be a dominant force consistently, I think he's a top 10 pick because he does so much on the floor. And he's so versatile, so smart. And this year's draft is significantly weaker than this year's draft. This is one of the deeper drafts we've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be a top 10 pick next year. I think he should come back. It just makes sense.
I agree with that statement. I do agree that there is there's something on the table for him if he were to come back. There's right. stuff for him to prove. For as much as he proved his freshman year, he exceeded pretty much every expectation that people had for him his freshman year when he should have been a high school senior.
Right, right.
But there still is a lot out there for him right. to still prove. He didn't really do it on a night-in, night-out basis
right.
where he was scoring and rebounding and playing defense. Still, he definitely has the potential to be an outside threat, but could stand to improve in that regard
right.
And has to get, I think, just bigger
yes.
and has to play with more of a presence down low.
Right. He has to play like he's nearly 7 feet.
But my issue, I think, with that statement, Jonte needs to come back, is the same issue I had when the conversation was about Drew Locke at the end of football season,
right.
which is that Jonte Porter has the option. He has the option of going and being a professional now and starting to collect checks when
right.
he would otherwise be playing for free,
right, right.
or staying in school another year and potentially improving his stock. And
going to class.
Yeah.
Doing things. And not to say Jonte's a very smart kid. If anybody's ever talked to him, I don't think he has a problem going to class. But yeah, would you rather go to class or go play professional basketball?
Yeah. It's so people that like the sentiment, Jonte needs to come back to school. It's like, well, he can.
Right.
That's an option. But, you know, he could also go and make some money right now if he
right.
wanted to.
Right.
He could get drafted and make, you know, like $1 million a year as a low-end first-round
right.
pick.
Now, the problem comes, if you're Jonte, you only want to go if you know you're going to be a first-round pick, because you don't get guaranteed money if you're a second-round pick. So if you're thinking you're going to go and be like low tier, I might get a first round pick, might go second. I think you got to come back, because
yeah,
the money's
just not
guaranteed there.
You can't take that risk
right.
if it's a second round pick, right?
Right.
But I feel like the thinking is not in the right place, that he has to come back.
Right.
It comes down to are you willing to leave, maybe take a chance and develop at the professional level while making money, or
right.
do you want to spend that year developing in college with a little bit more of a profile and the chance of getting drafted higher?
Right, right.
That I agree with you that if he were to come back for a sophomore year, show some of the things that are question marks maybe for him, there would be a potential for him to be a lottery pick
right, right.
and make a lot of money
right.
right out of the gate as a professional. I think there's also the option, if he were to take it, would not be a bad one, to get drafted, to go into the draft, get drafted in the first round, develop as a professional maybe in the G League for a year or two, and then go from there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's... which do you prefer as
right.
an athlete
yeah.
for him?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's never the question that gets asked, is what is the better option? It's just, what should he do?
Right.
Well, he should come back, because then he could be a lottery pick. Well, I feel like it's more nuanced than that. There's options. There's, you know, one has pros and one has cons,
right,
and
no,
one, the other has pros
that.
And cons. But that's never the question that gets asked. So that's where I feel like he's at right now. And, you know, obviously a very personal question.
Yeah.
The family, the Porter family, for as good as they've been with Missouri and the things that they've done for the programs, for a tight-knit family. So
sure.
that's not something that's really known outside
yeah,
of the family.
Yeah. They keep everything there really, really close.
Right.
Yeah.
And
anybody who says they 100% know,
we found that out this winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there is a deadline for when he has to sign with an agent.
Right. I think it's by May 30th. I think it's 10 days, a week or so after the combine, something around there. He has to make a decision if he's going to come back or not. If he doesn't make a decision on coming back, he can still withdraw from the draft. He just won't be eligible to play at Mizzou next year. So he has to make that decision to come back to Mizzou by May 30th.
And by then we'll know. And you, like you were saying, Konzo has to be operating under the assumption that he's going to go.
Right. You can't recruit and go out and talk to a player like, if Jonte comes back, you don't, I'm taking the scholarship away, because then the kid's going to, like, so you don't really care about me. So, yeah, he has to be out there operating on the assumption that Jonte's gone. Now, if Jonte comes back, they 100% will work something out. Like, they're not taking a scholarship away from Jonte Porter. He's got a scholarship. You work something out with the recruits, or you do something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But
just imagining Jonte deciding on May 30th.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
I'm coming back.
Kinds of goes. You can walk on. You
awkward.
Can, yeah.
We kind of gave your scholarship away.
You see that freshman over there? He's got his scholarship.
Also, number 13, you're going to have to change it.
Yeah.
One of our new guys came in, won a number 13. How does number 41 sound?
Yeah, good. You could walk on.
It's the only other jersey we have in your size.
You could be a starting walk on. Think about that, Jonte. That'd be nice. That'd be a crazy scenario.
That would. It kind of makes me think of Arizona State with Herm Edwards when he said he was going to make cuts.
Cuts, yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay,
yeah.
What high school athlete is going there and thinking, all right,
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to roll the dice on a scholarship.
And maybe get cut.
Fingers crossed. But, I hope I make it.
I mean, the thought of like if Jonte returns, like, if Mizzou gets what I think we'll talk about and what they're thinking they might get in recruiting wise, Mizzou could be really good next year. With the twin towers of and a more experienced Jeremiah Tillman and Jonte Porter down low and actual point guards and some depth on the backcourt.
Man, that's some disrespect for Jordan Geist. I've been a
Jordan Geist fan on here.
Actual point guards.
I've been a Jordan Geist fan on this podcast. It's not that I'm not throwing him under the bus. I don't think Jordan Geist is a real point guard. Like, I think he's playing out of position all year. And he's playing in a spot where he really necessarily didn't need to be playing point guard for 30 minutes a game. He could play off the ball. I think he's fine playing off the ball. But if you're talking about getting a Courtney Ramey or a Mark Smith type player, you get him. That's no disrespect to Jordan Geist. I think Jordan Geist, and I wrote this in our wrap-up, I think he could be one of the – I thought he was the most improved player this year. I think he could be one of the most important players next year just because of this experience he has in a backcourt. Because it's going to be a young backcourt regardless. He could be really, really important for that group next year. But my statement still stands. You get a few really real actual like point guards, and you could be really, really good next year. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Okay. So, I think the thought all last offseason was, what does Mizzou do with this 1 year that they have with Michael Porter Jr.? Yeah.
It was almost all or nothing.
It felt like the window of opportunity was one season.
Yeah.
And there was also the consideration that if things go really well, you can use that year to recruit new guys.
Right, right.
And now you're starting to see a situation where that year was good enough to where they are starting to get some of the guys that you thought might be in the mix.
You're getting Mark Smith on campus for an official visit this weekend, and you're getting Courtney Ramey here for an unofficial. He came sometime during the season. I can't remember what game it was. It might have been the Arkansas game. He was here for an unofficial. I remember seeing him on the bench during warm-ups, and those two top 60 point guards. I mean, you know, Courtney Ramey was committed to Louisville, and obviously that whole thing just disappeared when Rick Pitino got fired, but still, to have him here, have him within the top, Mizzou in the top 10, it's because they turned this around and they went to NCAA tournament. To have Torrence Watson, a top 100 kid, being so vocal about wanting to come to Mizzou and trying to get one of his good friends, Courtney Ramey, and others here, it's because they did well. So I think it's important that they had that year, but like you said, it's a transition year for sure. I don't think if anybody expected Mizzou to be just continue this level of consistency. It's next year's going to be a transition year, but I think it all just depends on what happens in this next kind of month and a half.
Big month for Mizzou basketball.
Yeah.
Mizzou football after spring will be pretty quiet until camp starts up in August, and it'll be a big season for them too, looking to build on 7 wins last season and a bowl loss. So we'll be back again next week to talk about spring game, talk a little bit more basketball. One thing that we're going to try to do this summer is get some guests on the podcast.
Yeah. We were talking about that before the podcast. Had a list of people we might reach out to.
So if you have suggestions,
let us know
on current or former Zoo players or possibly coaches or any other personalities that could provide insight on Mizzou sports or college sports, feel free to send in your suggestions. Yeah. We'll do our best to track them down. Excited for that part of our podcast to kind of take shape this summer. Feel like it'll be good to get some other voices in here.
Yeah, they're probably sick of hearing us talk.
Maybe we'll give them hot wings.
Oh, that'd be funny. Somebody else eating hot wings on the podcast besides me. I'd be so down for that.
I don't know, Ken. That's kind of your thing. That's like your brand.
That's not my thing.
I think it's your brand. I need a new brand. Yeah, let's just have Cam eat hot wings.
I need a new brand.
Every podcast.
But, yeah. So are we going to do a podcast after the spring game?
Sure.
Okay. You're not on record.
So we have to. All right.
No matter how long Saturday is.
It's out there.
It's on record.
Okay.
So people, if we don't do one, it's because one, Danny decided not to, or we left the podcast stuff in the office, which is very likely. So we've done that multiple times before.
So many times over the course of the football and basketball season. Oh, yeah. We forgot the SD card.
No podcast.
Forgot the recorder.
There's no batteries.
Batteries yeah. out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll try to do one after the spring game, too.
Yeah.
You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Read all our work in the paper and at ColumbiaTribune.com. Follow us on Twitter. And we will talk to you again next week.
I got our new outro. Ready?
Yeah.
Danny, cue the outro music.
Oh.
Sure, and subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.